Greetings, and welcome to Bear Soup Podcast. Ahead in this 90th episode of Bear Soup, brought to you by the good men making fabulous music at BearRadio.net, and Great Summer Bear Reads at Bear Bones Books, the Bear Market at P-Town Summer Bear Week, an exclusive interview with Doug Langway, director of the award-winning movie Bear City, and Bear City the movie trailer, and the title story from Jeff Mann's latest fiction collection, A History of Barbed Wire. This is your host, Ron Sarisha, and welcome. You're just in time for another heap and helping of Bear Soup. Coming up later in the podcast, an exclusive interview with Doug Langway, director of the award-winning movie Bear City, and Bear City the movie trailer. But first,
I am really pleased to announce the publication of Jeff Mann's Lambda Literary Award-winning collection of short fiction entitled A History of Barbed Wire, just re-released by Bear Bones Books. And an excerpt from the book, the title story, A History of Barbed Wire. It itches as I write this, my new tattoo, first tattoo. Black barbed wire wrapped tight around my right biceps and triceps, a desire which took decades to distill. 4 times a day I dutifully rub lotion on it, study the design in the mirror, watch it peel and heal, try to discern its history. First, a boy in southern West Virginia, a drizzly March day. I'm helping my father run barbed wire along a new pasture fence, from locust post to locust post, then about a corner oak. We tug the thorny wire carefully off its roll, pull it tight, and staple it to the wood. Always there's the knowledge, the dread, the slightest chance that a tautly stretched length of wire might snap. I remember stories, the farmer in an adjoining hamlet, the sudden accident, the way the wire, too tense, turned on him just as a rattler abruptly betrays the snake's handler's confident piety. In my imagination, this man I never met is naked, lying in the meadow grass, his beard the thick copper of August light, the barbed wires wrapped about his torso, the dark hair on his chest is reeling with rain and scarlet. A March drizzle such as this is lapping away the blood. "Pull it tighter," orders my father. I start nervously, and one of the barbs pierces my thumb. Wincing, I lift the wound to my mouth, lick off the red stain, the taste of rust, waiting for the sound of a whip in the rain. High school loner, I'm reading my first gay novel, Patricia Nell Warren's The Front Runner. Trying to imagine the track star and his coach making love, finally I must face what I am. The local mountain men have always frightened me, but now I realize that I also desire them, though I know my lust, if expressed, would be met only with contempt and violence. Brought up on stories of courage, Confederate soldiers, Greek and Roman heroes, I'm trying to decide what manhood means in light of this problematic and uninvited homosexuality. I want to become the sort of man I desire. I want somehow to absorb the apparently effortless masculinity of country boys. Boots, beards, chest hair, denim jackets, pickup trucks, tattoos. In my early 20s now, I'm escaping into university anonymity, buying my first leather jacket, swaggering self-consciously into my first leather bar, cultivating roughness, learning how to drink bourbon straight. That red, mustached bartender, veins cresting the pale ridges of his biceps, his eyes meet mine. Back in Steve's apartment, he lights a votive candle, slowly strips for me, pulls lengths of rope from beneath the bed. I tie his hands to the headboard, knot a bandana between his teeth, and take a doubled-over belt to his perfect ass. He groans when I enter him. In the candlelight, his eyes are moist, his eyes are bright. A decade later, I take my turn in Richmond. The cock gags buckled in tight, The rope cuts into my arms, wrists, and ankles. I'm a martyr, drunk on too much mezcal, seduced by a leather couple who've been looking for a sacrifice. Drew, black-bearded, his shoulders dense with muscles and tattoos, holds me down. Tom, ponytailed, ruthless, expressionless, drips hot wax over my nipples. I sweat, buck, shake my head, bite down on rubber, a muffled beggary, wrestling against them. They force me back against the mattress, their tongues and mustaches ranging over my body, and then they arch together above me, their kiss a keystone. Drained saint, exhausted, replete, I fall, trembling against Drew's big tattooed shoulder. Gently, he smooths my thinning hair, runs a finger through the sticky opal puddling on my chest. In St. Mel's Church in Longford, Ireland, I sit in the pew, watching locals pray, wondering what tragedies they are wrestling with. Somewhere near are the graves of my ancestors, blood 200 years removed. My youth's almost over, my temples are slowly silvering. Before me, Christ opens his robe to reveal his heart, which is tightly wrapped in thorns. Suddenly, I remember the corner oak at the angle where two fences meet back home on the farm. Barbed wire again, its intermittent fangs, my father and I wrapped around the tree's expanding girth, the wood widening within like concentric circles, a skipped stone sings across pond water. Over the years, into rough bark, that tight barbed wire will slowly sink, then be swallowed up, a sharp suffering disappearing beneath the skin. Ireland still. Sligo now. Above the door of the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, Christ is stretched in gleaming marble upon his cross. Drunk on pub Guinness, I want to ascend somehow, ladder or levitation, run my fingers across the painful arch of that carved chest, stroke the long hair and beard. My last lover still arches beneath me so, at least in memory, summer afternoons stolen together, his husband safely ensconced at work. A rainstorm rips the white oak leaves, rival gods wrestle within our bones. To the bed, to this crucifix of sheets, I tie him tight, the way we both like it. Then hurt him gently, hairy savior, Jim pumped imp. I run my mouth over soft black moss, hard curves of chest, shoulders, bicep, cock, till our skins are splashed with magma. I bury my face in the sweaty fur between his pecs, wishing time would seize on this spot. I know what nothing surpasses, the world's beauty held entirely in my arms. All my lonely youth I dreamed of marriage, and now the domesticity I dreamed of seizes me fast. Television evenings, cookbooks, monogamy, conversations about lawn, house, and car, hum of the dishwasher, the air conditioner, days spent behind a desk. I want some reckless, irrevocable gesture, some proof that a little youth, a little edge is left. Context can eroticize almost anything. In gay porno I buy, magazines like Drummer, Bear, Bound and Gagged, tattooed men are tied and tying, sucking, fucking, flexing, posing. In the campus gym, I study athletic college boys as they sweat and strain. Tattoos dark against pale skin and muscle bulge. Designs delicately drilled into shoulders, biceps, calves. Sophisticated body art, long ago superseding the trashy, primitive tattoos I remember on hillbilly boys of my hometown. Even in middle age, it's instinctual. Incorporate what you find desirable, make it your own. My mother, my sister, now my lover, how they've tried to keep out my wilderness, my warrior, my extremes. The first tattoo I wore was temporary, a rose wrapped around a dagger. Then the henna flirtations, a thick black armband in Rehoboth Beach, a few tribal swirls across one shoulder, No drunken, adolescent spontaneity here. Now I take years to contemplate consequences, to make decisions that are permanent. For months, sadly dick-whipped, I'm wheedling my dubious spouse for his approval. Meanwhile, I carry around designs in my backpack, pull them out in the evenings, stand before the mirror, roll up my right sleeve, and hold them up to my arm. I wonder how badly it will hurt. It's a snowy spring equinox. Into ancient art I step for my long-postponed appointment. Pulling off my coat, sweater, and shirt, I stretch out bare-chested in the padded chair. Patrick is one of the best tattoo artists in the region. He's young and handsome, with blue eyes and a scruffy blonde goatee, colorful Celtic designs swirling along his thick forearms. I wish he'd tie me down and stuff a rag into my mouth before he begins. Instead, he pulls on rubber gloves, sets out tiny pots of ink, and then the needles begin to hum and bite. A small, proud pain, almost a pleasure. Nails, honeybees, wild rose thorns. A minor test of strength, sweat rolling down my sides like spring thaw. When Patrick bandages me up, a little over an hour later, I'm sorry that it's over. Now, barbed wires tied about my arm. Appetites inscribed, flesh is emblematic. I shake his hand, pull on my clothes and my respectability, and step out into the snowstorm, flakes coming down thickly now in slate gray dusk. What we once indelible, unlike so much we know, those transitory passions that wash over us and trickle away into meaninglessness, something like a scar, but chosen, freed of accident or random circumstance. Here, art's eternity and body's ephemera reach some compromise, as if ink might redeem the page, might lend meaning. It's scrimshaw, rope burn, rough touch that does not evaporate, thorns wrapped around the heart of the sacrificed god, a naked man bound tight, strength and restraint, learning to submit, letting go, learning the pedagogy of suffering, a message which will not erode away like epitaphs in rain, which will perish only when its medium smolders reluctantly at the edges like wet paper then takes to flame. And this has been the title story from the new collection of fiction by Jeff Mann, A History of Barbed Wire. For more information on the book, please go to barebonesbooks.com. So I got to go to Summer Bear Week, at least the first weekend of Summer Bear Week. That was after the July 4th weekend in Provincetown, Massachusetts. I attended the bear market on Sunday with maybe 20 other vendors. And a big shout out to Shane Ruff from Ruff Shirts, who coordinated the event. And it was really interesting. There was lots of sexy stuff, but there were handicrafts and t-shirts and tie-dye. And my table was in between FK, a local Provincetown retailer that was selling coxlings and neoprene stuff, and AJ, table four, hand jobs for the home. Big shout out to AJ, selling homemade jams and marshmallows, which were very tasty. There was something for everyone there. So at the bare bones table, we had a very nice display of all of our titles. I passed out more than 300 bookmarks, and I met some very interesting folks, passed out Smashwords discount cards on selected BBB titles. There's a link that you can hit on the blog for your discount until August 2nd for that. Interestingly, three people asked me about bear poetry. So that was a terrific time at Bear Market, and I really enjoyed it.
Nicest of all, during my brief stay in P-Town, I got to hang out with Doug Langway and several of the actors and other production guys from Bear City, at least the sequel to Bear City. And it was a lot of fun and laughter during breakfast. I really enjoyed hanging out with these guys and look forward to spending more time next month with them during the filming for this sequel. And if you're interested in becoming an extra for Bear City, the sequel, then go to their website, BearCityTheMovie.com, and check out the link for Bear City 2. So at long last, we received our cast and crew copies of the film Bear City. The husband and I were extras for the film, and Doug Langway, the director, finally sent our copies. And we're so very excited to see it at home, too, and to realize that we were a part of it. Very exciting time. And in that vein, we will listen again to the trailer for the movie Bear City. TLA releasing Sharp Left Studios.
Over here.
Shut up, you polar bear!
I'm gonna go tend to her before she goes extinct.
In the cafe. Winner, best screenplay.
Hi,
no, yeah, I have plans. Admitting that you like bears is like coming out of the closet twice.
At the Ramrod.
Hey, guys, this is Tyler. And this is my husband, Brent.
Aw, husband.
Hey, baby, look out. Good.
Hey, don't squeeze the charmin', Papa, okay?
It's really appreciated. I need this job.
Oh, well, the job sucks. But the eye candy is compensation. Did you meet Roger?
Impressive.
Tyler, angle your approach more.
Who's the kid?
Okay, so are there rules?
We would have to decide what we do and don't want to do with other people.
All right, so like Dennis and Peter do, so no kissing.
Gorgeous.
That is completely retarded. I don't know how they make that work.
Throw some hair on that belly and I think we're talking perfection. What happened to you? Were you dropped on your head as a child?
Not only have to be big and hairy, but you gotta be muscular to boot.
I'm coming with you tomorrow night, and you're gonna tell this guy how you feel once and for all.
I think you have feelings for someone, but it ain't this Spaniard. Michael, please don't psychoanalyze me.
What? Grr!
What are you doing?
Getting my bear.
Okay, Simon, do not embarrass me.
How do I look?
It's like bear knees in here. Look at all this great stuff.
Maybe if you're lucky, I'll let your man skate me later.
He's gonna love it.
A barrel of fun, says Michael Musto. It's a sweet tale worth a woof, says Time Out New York.
Yay. Yeah.
You didn't even look.
This fall romance gets hairy. Woo! At the bar. Bear City.
Who wants to eat my ass?
It's Select Theaters now, on DVD, sometime last year. Credits. Here I am, walking by the couple.
But here he has a donkey dick.
So if you haven't already checked out the movie at a theater near you, you can check out the website at BearCityTheMovie.com and check out the trailer, download the film, and generally have a woofy time. All right, so we're here with Doug Langway again, the famed director of Bear City and Bear City 2. Here we are in P-Town in lovely summer Bear Week.
Yeah, fabulous Bear Week. Thank you. Hey, guys, this is Doug Langway, director of Bear City, and soon to be director of Bear City 2, hopefully coming out in the spring.
Great. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, since the last time we talked, it's been almost a year, and you have been, like, everywhere. So, in 2 minutes, can you capsulize every place that you've been to in the last 2 years, and tell me what was the best part of it?
Okay. Well, I saw you here, right? We did the first one in P-Town here.
Yeah.
I think I went right to Outfest in Los Angeles, and Bear City won Best Actor in a Movie, and I wrote my comics in Reno. And I won for Best Screenplay with my co-writer, Larry Ferber. Great time in Outfest. And it went on to, the film went to a lot more fabulous places than I did. But I got to go to England, to London. I went to Wales to do the Welsh Film Festival, the Irish Prize, and judge the film festival there. While I was there, my dad went to go see the film in Atlanta. And then my actors took him to the Eagle. So my dad was drunk at the Eagle. Very, very nice. Well, I was like, Dad, go home.
What did your dad think about the movie?
He loved the movie. You know, he loves the Bears. He's a really super cool dude. He thought the movie's wonderful. Calls me, drunk from the Eagle. I'm like, okay, Dad, you have to go home because they're going to think you're hot because it's kind of bearish himself. It was a good time, though, and it went on to play San Francisco, the Pink Saturday slot, which is the Pride weekend, Saturday night. Amazing experience.
The premiere.
Yeah. 1,500 Bears in a screaming in a theater. It was very much a lot of fun.
At the Castro Theater.
The Castro, yeah.
Oh, wow. That must have been great.
It was really great. And then it went on to various festivals throughout that time, through the summer. And then we also came out in theaters at the same time. We played in Fort Lauderdale. We played New York at the Quad in October. We got a rave review from New York Times. It was really amazing. You know, the people were just so much giving us great respect and great response. My favorite response was my friend telling me, oh my God, I was so relieved I didn't have to lie to you and say it was good when it sucked. Yeah. So I thought that was a really great compliment.
Well, a little bit of a backhand
compliment. It was more like, you know, if it sucked, I was still going to tell you it was good. I'm so glad I didn't have to lie to you because it was really good.
Well, that's a true friend for you.
Exactly. So I was like, yeah, that's a really great compliment. So yeah, people really absolutely loved it, and I thought that was a lot of fun. And then we went on to come out on DVD in November of last year. And we had it was the highest grossing film of this fall season, and it was really great. Not that I ever saw any money, but you know, it'll happen. We'll pay it back eventually.
Eventually. TLA featured it.
TLA featured it, yes. And then we went to London and premiered in London and it sold, probably 8 or 9 territories all over the world, and came out on digital video, Netflix, iTunes. It's been a pretty successful run.
Very good.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you. And I'm so very happy.
And we're here in P-Town playing it again.
Yeah. Is the interest still as strong, you think?
Yeah, I think, because we're shooting Bear City 2 here, which I'm sure we'll get to, but the interest has been great because people just want, now, a year later, everybody knows about it, and they weren't able to see it in the theater at that point because a lot of people ended up catching it later when it got to Netflix or got to iTunes. So a lot of people just going to the theater just so they can all be together and see it in the theater. So it's actually been a great experience.
Yeah. And last summer, too, of course, with Malcolm's movie at the same time.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
And we were in that.
It seemed like there was a lot more going on, too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and also, I mean, and it was great then, too, but you had to sort of know about the movie, and now, a year later, everybody sort of knows about the movie, so they're all like, and even if they have seen it, they're like, let's go see it in theater. Because it's a lot of fun when you see it with a group of bears.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people throw little parties. It's been a really wonderful experience. And the feedback has been great. You know, people saying it changed their life, and, you know, just really have had some really warm responses that, like, brought a tear to my eyes.
That's so gratifying. Yeah. That is really nice when people go to the trouble of telling you that something that you've done, you know, creatively influenced their life and, you know, and made a difference.
It is. It's great. Really good because I was nervous. You know, it's one of the first times that someone's really delved into the community in that way and put it out there for the whole world to see. And so I wanted to make sure I had the right voice and the right honesty and the right heart, and apparently I did.
I think so. I think, you know, you got a really good road. And, you know, of course, you can appeal to so many people just by a really good sense of humor.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you open people's hearts.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah.
So let's talk about City 2.
Okay. Well, because...
If you want to.
Yeah, I may.
If you insist. Okay.
Well, you know, obviously the response was really great. And I sort of knew the story. Actually, it's sort of a trilogy of mine. But because the response was so good, we just went right back in and started writing the second one. And
how far have you gotten in writing the script? The
script is done. It was written about February of this year. We did a reading with all the actors again. So I kind of took the entire fall and went. I haven't talked to Fort Lauderdale. I went down to Fort Lauderdale and spent like a month just getting into the characters and going back and forth with Larry. And you know, it really flowed. We knew the characters. We loved the characters, and I kind of knew where I wanted them to go. And at that point, P-Town was so in my heart that I was like, this would be perfect. I wanted it to be a marriage movie. At one point, it was going to be a movie that was going to go to San Francisco next, so I really wanted to give West Coast the props. But unfortunately, marriage isn't legal there, and I needed the legality in part of this film.
Yeah.
So it made sense to do it in P-Town. Now, of course, New York is legal, so now I'm like, well, what the fuck? Which is a great thing. So, you know, I decided that the magic of P-Town could still hold up and decided that, you know, Roger and Tyler decides... Roger decides to propose Tyler, and a reluctant Tyler eventually says yes, and they come to P-Town and get married.
Wow.
Antics ensue.
Hilarity ensues.
Hilarity ensues. and it's...
Well, it sounds like a great start. A great
Yeah, and you know, it's a way of getting everybody up there. You have Simon coming back as the best man of Tyler's. You know, you have, obviously, Michael, who will be Roger's best man, and Carlos, and... Brent and Fred are coming, and you know, everybody's up there to be supportive, and they have all their own lives going on, and it's 2 years after the first movie, and I kind of flip all the roles, you know, so it's a lot of fun to watch, you know, watch where their lives progress.
Their characters evolve.
Yeah, exactly.
So they grow, and so it won't be just a rehash.
No, not at all. It's actually really great, and the testament to it is that everybody's coming back. They read, you know, everybody came to the reading. They didn't know what to expect, and they read it, and they all read it together, and they're like a big family, the Bear City family. And in the reading, everybody's laughing out loud, and they were just like, this is amazing. The script is amazing. And, you know, they bring so much to the table that it's just going to be such a fun movie. And it's going to still have its heartstrings and things to pull at and things that people can take to heart from their own lives. You know, it's just progressed forward from the first one.
Right.
It's kind of like My Empire Strikes Back. It's more relationship driven, less explanation. You know, less explanation of the bears.
Yeah, less of the Bear 101.
Yes, which the first one had to be, you know. But now I'm able to get into the underbelly, if you will. The underbelly of the whole thing.
The thick underbelly of the beast.
Okay, now we're just getting sexual. You know, we're just getting bad.
It's getting.
And I can't
getting
think.
Getting a little thick.
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you.
Anyway, well.
We're going to take a 5-minute break, and me and Ron are going to have sex, and then we're going to come back and talk about the production of Bear City 2 here during Bear Week. So, yes, we're shooting this week.
Yeah.
Yep, we're going to be shooting background stuff because this, I think somebody said this is 7,000 people here or something. It sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But there's thousands of people here. And that Bear Week in Provincetown is amazing. And, you know, John does such a great job of just putting together the most amazing low-key, you know, low-demand festival, you know, that has just been a wonderful thing and very inclusive. And so...
John Burroughs.
Burroughs, yes, sorry. John Burroughs, the president.
Founder of Bear Week and the P-Town Bears.
Yep. And so him and Thomas Quinn have been really great about getting us involved. And everyone at P-Town has just opened their arms and their hearts to us. And just are going to let us do so much fun stuff here.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You did such a great job with the first one. Why wouldn't they want to see that, you know, carried on here? Is there like a Provincetown film board?
Yeah, there is.
Thing?
Well, they have.
They've been helpful.
Yeah, they absolutely have. The film festival and Gabby Hanna and all the people from Whalers War Cinema, and those guys are all helping out and being very, you know, very supportive. And even the town hall and all the people there are being supportive. We have Nathan Butera here, who's our locations manager, who's doing a terrific job of getting us what we need. But we're going to shoot just B-roll this week because, you know, get those big wide shots of the pool, you know, at Crown and Anchor, and get that huge shot of...
the wall of fur and flesh.
Yeah, the wall of fur and flesh, you know, at the tea dances, at the boat slip, and things like that. And we're going to have the crane coming down and shooting in the middle of Commercial Street. Yeah, so that's the kind of stuff I can't do later with controlled extras. But we're going to come back in September, October area and shoot a 15-day principal shoot with the actors and then with some background and kind of the way we did it when you were there.
Yeah.
You know, the serious shoot. But I couldn't get a lot of people to come back.
I wouldn't be able to get a lot of people to come back, this many people to come back, and do the extra stuff. So we're kind of doing that now. So we have the time to do that and take our time really, really filming this magical town, because really, there's not so many films that have been shot here. So
oddly enough.
Yeah, right? I have no idea. People are nuts.
That's why I asked you about if there was a film board or something.
Yeah,
you know,
it's,
because...
No, I mean, there is a film festival group. But yeah, that, right. They just haven't had... I mean, they haven't had a demand, which is great for me, because I'm going to be one of the first people to be able to capture it in a wonderful way.
You think that John Waters would have done a movie here,
right?
You know?
It's so. True. There's been a few movies, but even something like Lie Down with Dogs really didn't capture the essence of the background and stuff. It really focused on the characters and kept with low budget and kept the interior a lot. I really want to go ahead and get outside and get to the heart of the entire place.
And like the way that New York City was a character in the first one,
right.
Provincetown will be a character in this Beer City too.
It's the fifth character, if you will.
Fifth wheel or
you know, they say in Sex and the City, like New York was the fifth character.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, P-Town will be another character. And, you know, I really was careful about trying to make sure that the areas that we shoot in really have a lot to do with the story. So we're going to go on Race Point, which is that long, like, jetty that has little rocks. And it gets you really, really away from everybody. And we're going to have this technology-driven scene where you can't get away from your cell phones. And, you know, that's in the middle of this beautiful, like, thing, and the cell phones are ringing. So, and it's like, and everybody can...
That is such a lie, because there is such horrible...
That's true.
Cell reception.
That's called movie making.
Everybody knows that you can't get any reception
Thanks.
On Race
Thanks.
Point.
Thanks, you just ruined the damn
Sorry.
Movie.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're going to have a cell tower up there somewhere.
We'll erase that, yes. Okay, as part of the interview.
But in this movie, you can get reception, and it's just this great experience of being alone and still having the world coming at you through technology.
And
people can relate to that and how that kind of drives a wedge between people sometimes, the phones and the scruff and the grinder and the, you know. So there's going to be a lot of fun things like that where the town and the area really has a lot to do with the scene.
Nice. Well, as always, I wish you the best with it.
Thanks.
And I hope that you can support it in whatever way possible.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to come up...
And you're looking for extras.
We're looking for extras
in September,
yes. And it's going to be just after Labor Day all the way through October. If you just go to BearCityTheMovie.com, and we'll be able to check there. If you go to casting@BearCityTheMovie.com and just send us a picture and your name and a contact, we'll contact you.
Mm-hmm.
Or just go to the Facebook. We're Bear City on Facebook and Bear City 2 on Facebook.
Right.
So any one of those, you'll get some information on how to get involved in September.
Very good. Well, Doug Langway.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to see you.
Well, thank you. And,
Good night.
This has been Bear Soup with Ron Serratia, episode number 90. Shout-outs once again to Merman, Joe of BearRadio.net, and as always, to my husband, Rocco. And thanks to you for listening to the Bear Soup Podcast. Email me at bearsoup@gmail.com. Check out the Bear Soup page on our newly refurbished home blog, www.bearsouppodcast.net. Bear Soup is produced for the Bear Radio Network, which is not responsible for the content of this podcast. Bubbles for the Bear Soup Hot Tub are powered by our sponsor, Bear Bones Books. Check out their excellent titles by Bear authors at barebonesbooks.com, spelled BearBonesBooks, including the latest in the hot and hairy fiction series, Bear Lust. Look for Bear Soup, Bear Radio, and Bear Bones Books also on Facebook. And remember, men, sometimes you eat the bear, sometimes the bear eats you.